Iran's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Evgeny Popov. Evgeny is a Moscow-based Russian state TV host. His programs tell viewers what they need to know. They're polar opposite what Americans get when they turn into U.S. TV, whether it's cable programs, whether it's the broadcasters, whether they read the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, my own Chicago Tribune. They get what I call misinformation rubbish. When they tune into Evgeny, when they watch, they can watch other Russian television, RT International. They can listen on radio to Voice of Russia. They can find out exactly what's going on. They can check it on independent websites, marvelous websites that tell people what they need to know. They can read my blog, Steve Lindman blog, and they can get good information, solid information on what's happening on major issues. It really is a pleasure, Evgeny, to welcome you on my program. I really welcome you warmly. I'm delighted to have you on.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be here on your show, and it's so long destination from Chicago to Moscow, and my pleasure to be in your show.
Oh, indeed. I think in a lot of respects, Chicago is like Moscow. Certainly the weather is very much the same. And I've never been to Moscow. I don't know if you've been to Chicago, but of course we speak a different language. I know a few words in Russian, and I must say you told me days before we went on, you were concerned about your English. Your English sounds marvelous, absolutely marvelous. Our listeners will have no trouble understanding you. I think the main thing that I'd like to discuss, plus anything else in your mind, is what's going on in Ukraine. And I know Russia gives it tremendous coverage, and I follow it on what I'm able to follow on RT International and Voice of Russia. Extremely important information. Discuss the Ukraine story from your point of view, Evgeny.
Okay, first of all, you have to understand, and every of your viewers, listeners have to understand, Ukraine is different. It's like not a united country because Ukraine exists in its current borders just 23 years. Before this, it was USSR. Before, it was like part of Poland, part of other countries. But now, already 23 years, Ukraine is a united country, trying to be a united country. But we have west in Ukraine and we have east in Ukraine. And the west of Ukraine, it's like going west, going to Europe. They like European country culture. They want to be in European Union. They want to be in European society. But they are like different people from the east of the country, because most of the people who live in the east of Ukraine, they used to speak in Russian. They used to live in a friendship with Russian people. They like can't live without Russia, and this is the main reason of current crisis in Ukraine. Just imagine for a second. If somebody would tell you, Steven, from tomorrow you have to speak only in Spanish or in Chinese or in like other language, what would you do? Because you have your native language, as I understand it is English. But people in East Ukraine, they would like to speak Russian, but Kyiv told them that they can't do it. They can't write documents in Russian. They can't study in universities in Russian. They can't do anything else in Russian. because current power in Ukraine, current president or so-called president, so-called prime minister, they are like nationalists. They would like to build national country, and they think that their heroes are Bandera, if you know who it is.
Yes.
Shukhevich. They are like Nazis. Bandera was a predator. He was assistant for Nazis, for Hitler. And now Kyiv tell East Ukraine that Bandera has to be Ukrainian hero. Now Kyiv tell Ukraine that East Ukraine that now they have to speak only in Ukrainian language.
I would add one thing about Bandera, Evgeny. He was complicit in the mass murder of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians during the Nazi era, and the people in the neo-Nazis that are running Kiev, they eulogize him and they hold him up as a symbol of what they represent. And indeed, the Kiev regime is infested with neo-Nazis, extremists. The whole bunch of them are fascists. And of course, what happened on the 21st, 22nd of February was the democratically elected government of Ukraine under Viktor Yanukovych was toppled. Washington manipulated everything. U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs, Victoria Nuland, admitted on tape, she was caught on tape admitting that Washington spent over $5 billion manipulating the toppling of the Yanukovych government to elevate these neo-Nazi fascists to power. And that's exactly what happened. So the government in Kiev is totally illegitimate, and it's the one Washington supports and the U.S. major media support, and they're waging a war without mercy on the people in eastern Ukraine.
Yeah, sure. Concerning Ms. Nuland, I've seen her in Ukraine. I've seen her in Kyiv in February or in January. She's been in Kyiv maybe twice or three times, and I seen her like on Maidan. And after that, American government, State Department, trying to tell us that U.S. is not impact on Ukraine. U.S. is not like support revolution, support Nazi regime or Nazi government. It's like I don't know how to react on it, but we can see that all of Ukrainian current leaders, so-called leaders, they like every day going to U.S. embassy, EU embassy, German, French embassy, or other countries, other European countries, because we have to understand that this is not Ukrainian revolution. This is like West revolution in Ukraine, and Ukraine is not the main goal. The main goal for me is Russia, because now Ukraine, tomorrow would be Russia, I think.
Oh, indeed so. Again, everything was manipulated in Washington. And when events like this happen, whether it's the toppling of a government the way Washington in Ukraine, whether it's Washington planning a war like the first post 9/11 one against Afghanistan, these things take months of planning. They don't just erupt out of thin air. Before the opposition that became violent, before it erupted in Kiev in November, November 2013. This was all planned in Washington months in advance. Everything was manipulated. The people, the anti-government elements were chosen in Kiev. They were sent to other countries. I know they were sent to Poland. They were sent to Lithuania. They were trained to do what they did, to commit the violence that they committed, and they were the ones entirely responsible for killing over 100 Kiev citizens, civilians, and so-called Berkut police. They opened fire at them. They did it from windows and from rooftops of nearby buildings. They murdered them in cold blood, and the Estonian Prime Minister, a man named Payet, told EU Foreign Policy Chief Catherine Ashton that he was in Kiev, and he spoke to people on the ground, people who knew what would happen, including a professor at a local university, and he got hard information proving that the Yanukovych government had nothing to do with these murders, and that the people who came to power in Kiev were the ones entirely responsible. So, the cat was out of the bag, and there was more evidence. There was videotape evidence showing what was going on. But again, this is a Washington scheme. Washington wants Ukraine co-opted, made really a Western satellite. It wants NATO bases on Russia's border in Ukraine. And the ultimate target, Evgeny, is Russia. I mean, America wants to eliminate all major rivals, and there are only two of them, Russia and China. America wants their rivalry eliminated. It wants them replaced by pro-Western puppet governments, and it wants to control them. And it literally is risking going to war doing these things. This is the madness, the lunacy, the policies that run my country, Evgeny. It really is shocking, and I certainly hope, thank heavens for somebody like Vladimir Putin and Sergei Lavrov, who stand up to this diplomatically. I think they're both master chess players, Evgeny. They're doing the opposite, I think, of what Washington expected. They're playing a masterful game. They're beating Obama at his own game, and I honestly believe in the end that the free people of Ukraine are going to win, but I don't know how much carnage will be caused before this catastrophe happens. It could be there'll be mass bloodshed before this thing ends, because Washington doesn't begin these things. It follows through. It's murdering people. I mean, look what it's doing in Syria. Look what it did in Afghanistan, Iraq, and Libya. Whether it'll get that bad, I don't know. But I really fear for the Ukrainian people, because this could turn out to be a bloodbath before it's over.
Yeah, sure. If you can see in the world map, we can see that Ukraine is like the next step after Libya, Syria, after Iraq, Afghanistan. And what we can see now in Ukraine is the same we already saw in Afghanistan or Libya. This is the most scary scene which we can imagine. This is civil war, because now East fighting against the West. Ukrainians shooting to Ukrainians. That's the most scary scene we can imagine. And you just told me about the government and West control on Ukraine territory. I think that the first level is political control, as it been after USSR failed. But the next step would be military control. And if West now will win, I think I'm sure that we will see U.S. military base like in Poltava, in Kiev. I think close as possible to Russian border. That is scary thing, because Russians understand it, and Russia will respond on it. I don't know how, but it would be a huge response, equal response. I would say we are close to new Cold War, or maybe in a Cold War already. Of course, Ukraine, it's like just a soft level of conflict, because United States wants to control borders with Russia, and that is scary, actually scary, because politically it's wrong, and we have to remember Kennedy and Khrushchev, we have to remember Caribbean crisis, we should remember about the possibility of nuclear war, Third World War III is possible if we will go in the same direction, if it will go in the same direction. Actually, I'm sure it's right.
Oh, indeed so. And this stuff just continues. It's really hard to imagine what can happen going forward, Evgeny, but I'm extremely concerned because I've seen these things unfold so many times before. Sometimes they're lower scale, sometimes they're more intense, but things have a way of spinning out of control. And because America wants control over Ukraine so badly, in the heart of Europe, the most important of the former Soviet republics, the largest one, straddling east and west, as you explain, and America wants control over this, and literally will go to any extremes to do it. I mean, putting an illegitimate government in power, praising its crimes or whitewashing them, ignoring them, unleashing them to wage war on ordinary people in eastern Ukraine, and I know, and listeners to this program know, that CIA head John Brennan went to Kiev. He was followed by Vice President Joe Biden, and they came with orders to unleash the military to attack the people in eastern Ukraine I call freedom fighters. They're not separatists. They want local autonomy. They're not separatists. They're not terrorists. They're not militants. I call them Ukraine's best and bravest because that's exactly what they are. They're defending the rights that everybody deserves, and they're vilified for doing this. So literally, I mean, these people are really extraordinary, Evgeny. They're putting their bodies on the line. They're risking their lives. They're getting killed because freedom to them matters most. They really deserve universal support, and they certainly have mine, and I hope that they'll prevail. But I fear there's a long, bloody conflict ahead, and I really do fear for what may happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. They are not terrorists. I see them. They are not separatists. They are not pro-Russian. They are Ukrainians. They are Ukrainian citizens, but they are like Russians by language, by culture, by nationality. They want to live in a country where a country would respect their rights. And now they can see. Now they fight for their rights. Because Kiev is going to crash their tradition. Kiev wants they like celebrate other historical events. East of Ukraine now wants to celebrate May of 9 is victory day for, it's a great day for all Russian people. And now it's scary situation because now it's civil war. And I would like to say to you that so-called separatists, they do not want to go to Russia. They do not want to be the part of Russia. They would be the part of Ukraine if somebody would sit with them in round table. But nobody in Kiev wants to talk with them. They just would like to shoot them by Kalashnikov, by like military vehicles and some other weapons. Because it wasn't any negotiations between Kyiv and Eastern rebels. The war is continuing. And I don't know what would be the end of this war, because we can see that power of rebels in east of Ukraine only grows, and they have military vehicles, now they have more Kalashnikovs, and now they provide some military operations, and the main thing which we can see, that people who just peaceful, usual people who live in eastern Ukraine support them. They support those rebels who fight with Kyiv right now. And that is civil war, what we can say.
Well, it certainly looks like it's a civil war, but of course it's also a war by the illegitimate government in Kyiv against people wanting to live free in eastern Ukraine. Another major issue for me, and I've written so much about it, Evgeny, is the irresponsible bashing of Russia and especially Vladimir Putin by the American media, by Secretary of State John Kerry, by Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel, by Obama, by the spokespeople for these individuals. It goes on and on. The irresponsible bashing, and if you examine the policies that Putin and Foreign Minister Lavrov are pursuing, they are going all out to resolve what's happening diplomatically. They deplore violence. They deplore war. Russia has no intention of invading Ukraine. Russia wants this whole business resolved diplomatically. It wants equity and justice. It wants all the people of Ukraine represented responsibly, given equity and justice. And that's exactly what their agenda is. They've come out and said it. And everything that I've seen happening coming out of Russia is exactly this, the opposite of what's coming out of Washington and Western nations, the ones I call rogue Western partners of Washington. And all of this gets misreported in the major media. Yesterday, I've written so much about this. My main target is the New York Times because it has global reach. Its feature stories get mentioned on TV, get picked up by other publications around the world. So what the New York Times says really matters most. I go at the New York Times hammer and tongue, Evgeny. I hoist it on its own petard. Yesterday I put out an article I titled New York Times War on Truth. I just listed in bullet points, one after another, dozens of bullet points, all of the deceptions and lies of the New York Times in responsible to its latest editorial that was published on the paper yesterday. I hope they read it. I know they know me well by now because I've gone at them so many times. They have a new editor in charge. Well, I don't think I had anything to do with her dismissal. It would be lovely to think that Jill Abramson, there's somebody new there, and I intend to go after him the same way I went after Abramson. But they're all the same thing. The correspondents, the commentators, the editors, the absolute garbage that they publish on their newspapers and feature on their front page and write editorials about. And this goes on daily, Evgeny. It is really shocking. The exact opposite of the Russian media I'm familiar with, the Russian media in English that I understand, and I'm certain that the Russian media in Russian for the Russian population is exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Like we are in a period of information war because if I see something by myself, like in Slovyansk or in Mariupol, in Kyiv, I've been several times in Ukraine during last time, then if I open any newspaper from the left, from Europe, from the United States, from Kyiv, I would read something which I can't believe, because it does not exist what newspapers write. And I would tell you some case for example. You remember the Vice News journalist who been captured in Slovensk? His last name is Ostrovsky. Maybe you remember him. Yes, and I interviewed him in Slovensk. During the period of time, he's been in rebels' hands, but they gave me an opportunity to do an interview with him. I gave him my cell phone secretly to call his mother. I took emails of his sister, of his mother, and then I wrote to them letters that everything okay with their son. But then I read the Vice News, column of Ostrovsky, and I haven't seen anything about it, about our conversation. I've seen like the words that it was Russian journalist who had an opportunity to talk with me. He wants to take information from me. It's like I don't know. He said that I am a military, but I am just a reporter, and I did everything to help him, but I didn't read something about it in his article after that. That is just an example, but we have to understand that information war is can be stronger than like military war, because it's like rivers of lie in newspapers, on TV, on radio, and you have to select information to be informed, and because we can see that rebels in East Ukraine, how American newspapers call them pro-Russian terrorists, separatists, and what do they tell about Russia? That Russia invade Ukraine, that Russia is going to send troops to the Ukraine, but this is not true. Actually, in American newspapers or on TV, we can see even satellite images of Russian troops, which is gathering on Ukrainian border. But our Ministry of Defense had explanation of this, and they told us that those images are like too old, and it was like some training near border a few years ago.
They were from last August. they had nothing to do with what's going on now. I wrote an article about it. The satellite images were from last August.
Hello,
Evgeny.
Can you hear me? Yes, I'm hearing you right now.
You can't hear? Oh, dear. Evgeny, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, we've only got a couple of minutes left. Just a couple of minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
Let me you finish up with some final thoughts. But it really has been a joy having you on. Anything else important in your mind that you want to relay? We've got about 2 minutes, I think.
Sure.
Go right ahead.
We have to sit in a round table, all of us, and talk about Ukraine. Not only us, of course. The main people have to be on round table are Ukrainians. They have to speak with each each other, and they will find solution, I'm sure. But we have to separate people from Western or Eastern influence, from Russian, from European Union, from United States influence.
Indeed so, Evgeny. Obama has lost every war he waged. Bush lost every war he waged. And I do believe when the final Ukrainian story is written, we'll find out that Obama lost another one. He really has a tiger by the tail. He bit off more than he can chew, and I think he's going to end up a loser. My only concern is a possible bloodbath before it happens. We're just about out of time. I need to sign off, Evgeny. It was wonderful having you on. I hope maybe one day we'll get a chance to meet in Moscow, or maybe in Chicago. It would be wonderful. We could break bread together. Evgeny, my great thanks for coming on. Join us on Sunday. We'll be on live at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Make it a regular habit.